And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. With me, I have Charlie with me. Say hello, hello to everybody. And Tamika will be joining us in a few minutes. She's just still in the Matrix. So as soon as, matter of fact, this is her right now. Yeah, hey, Tamika.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much. Just passed you in from the Matrix. What's up? What's going on?
Yay, I found some black to wear.
Well, welcome to the show.
Oh, cool. Oh, we're live. Yay, live.
So, yep, we are live. Oh, so, boy. It's good to have you on from Two Blur Girls podcast.
Yes, thank you.
You're very welcome. And tonight, we're actually going to be reviewing the 1999 film The Matrix, starring Keanu Reeves, Lawrence Fishburne, and also this is also one of my favorite movies of 1999. I was telling Charlie before we started that this movie came out during the same time that the Star Wars The Phantom Menace trailer was coming out. Oh. And all my friends didn't go to see The Matrix. We wanted to see the Star Wars Episode I trailer because that's all that we knew at that time. So what did we do? We get our parents inside the car. We wind up going to the movie theater to go see The Matrix. We had no clue what The Matrix was about. We had no clue of anything about it other than the fact that Keanu Reeves was attached to it. Then, next thing you know it, we're just blown away with the special effects. Also, too, before I even went to go see this film, I remember all my friends excited just to see the Star Wars trailer. Then when they came out of the theaters and everything and the next day at school, they're like, did you see The Matrix? No. What's The Matrix? Next thing you know it, everybody's talking about Matrix. Screws good Star Wars, pretty much. And lo and behold, now we have this huge franchise on our hands. But there's just something special about The Matrix and everything. The special effects at the time was ahead of its game. You had Keanu Reeves that was basically not really starring in that much stuff in the late 90s or anything like that either. And then The Matrix pretty much jump-started his career. And then he winds up taking a break. And then, of course, he winds up starring in a couple of comedies and stuff like that, like romantic movies and stuff like that. And then he takes a little bit more of a break. And now he's John Wick. But anyways, with further ado, I'm just geeked out over the fact that we get to talk about The Matrix. I love this franchise. The first two films, the other two films, I liked aspects of them, but didn't like them as a whole. But as for the original Matrix, I liked it. But going off whatever I said and everything, what did you guys think about The Matrix the first time you guys saw it? What was y'all's experience?
You go ahead, Charlie.
Well, when this movie came out, I was only 7. So I was born in 92, so this only came out like, I think it was right. It was like I didn't watch this movie until about the 2000s because that's when we got a DVD player. That's when DVDs became a thing. Mm-hmm. I think it was that or VHS. I don't remember. Honestly, like I think it might have been VHS because we rented The Mummy. So The Mummy with Brendan Fraser. So we rented that, and then I didn't watch this one at first. My dad, again, this movie has such a huge personal aspect for me because this movie my dad got me into. First R-rated movie I ever watched was The Matrix. First R-rated movie I saw in theaters, The Matrix Reloaded. It's such a shame because him and I would have gone seen the new Matrix movie together. Then it comes out next week or that. So like we would have seen it. So he's unfortunately not able to do that. But which this franchise has had such a huge personal aspect to me that I just love it. And I mean, I love The Matrix. Like the opening sequence, my dad knew instantly I was going to like this movie. Like you gotta get some credit, John, to the badass female, Carrie Ann Moss. She's playing Trinity. Yeah. Like
that's the.
Yeah. But yeah, so like, to go on, like,
I couldn't about, think I had.
But yeah, Carrie Ann Moss. So yeah, before Keanu Reeves, I think like this in his career, like he did a lot of like the one. I think he was really like really close to Joaquin Phoenix's brother, River Phoenix. Mm-hmm. He started that. I think what really kind of helped like started him was Bill and Ted. He did that in '89 as Bill and Ted, and then I think his first big action movie wasn't until '91. It was Point Break. As a whole, I didn't care for Point Break. I just loved the chemistry between Patrick Swayze and Keanu, like the two of them, this like instant chemistry, unlike The Notebooks chemistry. But anyway, the instant chemistry between that, like, and it's got so many iconic lines, like, are you out of your effing mind? I am an FBI agent. Like, very young Keanu, and it's just such a great line. And it's just like, I mean, there's so much moments. And then that was his first big action movie. It was Point Break with Catherine Bigelow. Directed as a whole, it's not a great movie, but it's a lot better than that piece of garbage, that remake, whatever they did. Mm-hmm. But I think his first, like, and then afterwards, he did a lot of the smaller movies. But I think then he started picking it up in 94, and his big one is Speed. I think for me, Speed was the one that really got him into the action. But the Matrix really helped. So I'm so glad Will Smith dropped out of the Matrix. Because I don't think this movie was gonna be any good with Will Smith as Neo. Sorry, Will Smith, you're good. I just think this movie would not have been getting such acclaim, like so much accolades, so much stuff, if Keanu Reeves had not been in this movie. And I think if Will Smith had been Neo, I think they would have made Morpheus a white guy. I think that's how they were probably gonna do this again. I don't know, but I'm glad we didn't go down that route. And Will Smith to this day is like he I think when they asked him about it, he goes, "Yeah, I kind of like at the time I think it was it just didn't fit me." And I'm glad we got Keanu because he's fantastic as Neo. And to see that him and Trinity back in this new one, I'm pumped. But yeah, I mean this movie's just so good. The action's great, and it's because of this movie, people tried to rip it off with the dodging of the bullets, like. This movie's so iconic, and that's why I did not want them to reboot this. This is the one movie I'm like, no, do not touch this movie unless you're doing a really good sequel. Don't touch this. I mean, again, the second one we'll get into, like, when we do it. I mean, I liked aspects of it. I hate the plot, but the action sequences really, like, made me enjoy this movie as much, and The Matrix Reloaded probably has the best trailer I have ever seen, a theatrical movie trailer. The second trailer, the scene when Trinity jumps out of the building backwards with the guy. Like, first time I saw them, like, holy crap, Trinity's like jumping out the backwards with two machine guns taking on an agent. Like, that's a 2.5 minute trailer, but it's so good. It's paced, the pacing's so well, the music's played well into it. It's probably one of the best trailers I've ever seen. I watch it like all the time. Anytime it's on, I'm watching that trailer because it's so good. But we can get into that. But anyway, go ahead, Tamika. But yeah, this movie's great.
Oh, no, I was agreeing with everything you were saying. I was like, what? Will Smith? Oh, terrible. Garbage. Yuck. But he was good in Men in Black. So yeah. He did that. Yeah.
He was good as Deadshot. And in the Suicide Squad movie, he's the only aspect of Deadshot. He's the only good part of that. But the one guy that does not need to touch the Matrix is LeBron James, because the Space Jam tried to ruin this. Space Jam 2 tried to ruin.
How did we get on Space Jam?
Because Space Jam 2 reenacted the opening sequence of this movie with the granny sitting there at the computer screen as Trinity, and her doing the iconic Trinity move, have Speedy Gonzalez dodging the bullets, having LeBron James dressed up as Neo, tripping like the little bitch that he is, and Bugs Bunny is Morpheus. Again, this was literally in Space Jam 2. But they really tried to ruin the sequence.
But
I'm not kidding.
But going off of the Matrix, though.
Hey, it's funny, it worked. They tried to rip it off the Matrix, so it's all pertinent to the topic at hand. It's okay, John. Hey,
all right. So I think I first saw the Matrix probably on TV, and I hate the fact that I did not see it in theaters. I think I was caught up with Phantom Menace, like you were talking about, John. I think I was caught up in Star Wars. And it was probably buzz around that. I was like, Matrix, what's this about? And then you see it in movies and you're like, okay, what's going on here? But yeah, when it came on TV, I was blown away. And then I wonder with the Wachowskis, were they influenced by John Woo? with the slow motion or the bullets or the action, some of the action scenes. Like I want to read up on what their their influence was. The anime, I forgot the anime's name.
The Animatrix.
Not Animatrix. It was gosh, I forgot the animes. Anyway, it was an anime that they took like almost shot from shot because they wanted to make it a real life animation.
Yeah, they took.
Do you remember that anime's name?
I'm about to look it up.
I know that they used Japanese animation. They were influenced. Ghost in the Shell.
That's it. Ghost in the Shell.
Oh yeah, Ghost in the Shell. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, this basically is like a Ghost in the Shell movie. But yeah, I mean, I was blown away by it and the concept, because it made me think, really. I was like, whoa, like the Matrix. And then it's like, oh my God, he's right. You know, like we are in the Matrix, you know, we're plugged in. And even like years and years later, you see how people are just attached to their phones and they're like this. And I'm like, oh God, we're in the Matrix. We're just plugged into the major. We need to unplug.
And this machine is just taking over us.
Conspiracy theorist, but that's what the Matrix has done to me.
but Tamika, you're right though. Sorry, John. Okay. I was just going on the part about the directors. Actually, you were right. There had been in Lon Myers of Hong Kong Action Cinema. They didn't mention John Woo by name, but he's like pretty iconic in Hong Kong. So that's why they decided to hire the Chinese martial artist, choreographer, Wen Wu Hen, to work on the fight sequence.
Nice. Cool.
And the cast was actually required to be able to understand them and explain the Matrix. The French fellow officer, Jean, I can't put a shirt that. It's like Samuel Cora and simulation was required reading for most of the principal cast and crew. The Wachowskis had Reeves read it. Kevin's Kelly's Out of Control, The New Biology of Machines, Social Systems, and the Economic World, and Dylan Evans' Ideas on Evolutionary Psychology, but even before they opened up the script. So there's a lot of reading the cast had to do for this, which makes sense because this movie's trippy.
Yeah, it was like reading about dreams and reality.
Yep.
Like, if what we are in now is a dream or is it reality? And I don't want to go that far because that'll mess me up, but that's the stuff they had to read to get into the film. But go ahead, John.
But the thing that I liked, the thing that I was fascinated with it was the fact that I used it as basically a biblical sense of it. It doesn't matter what religion you are or whatever, you could still pick up on something within the Matrix itself. With the movie, like for instance, you can actually use the whole entire analogy of, let's say, for instance, being a born again Christian with the, and you're lost in this world, and then these robots are basically taking over you, basically, and then all of a sudden you're once we're blind, now you see, so now you're able to see things that nobody ever seen is. And I like how they used how Morpheus winds up using the analogy of the fact that this is just wallpaper, pretty much. They're just covering up what is ugly on the outside and everything. It's totally completely different. And I liked how he actually uncovers Neo's eyes to show him, hey, look, this is what we're actually, this is what I'm showing you. This is everything that you're looking at. You're just looking at a painted picture. You're not seeing the ugliness within those walls of our planet. You're seeing only the outside part of it, and there's so much more on the inside that you need to look at. And also too, I also liked another thing that I thought Charlie mentioned, the fact that it was trippy, but even the part where, for instance, with the agents coming after him and he gets a cell phone, and then Neo is over there dodging everything, trying to make sure that he's being that he's avoiding these agents, and then Morpheus is on the phone. He goes, look, I need you to go outside on the sky and look out the window. First of all, he tells him to go look out the window. He sees the agents coming in. Then after that happens, he's like, now what I'm going to need you to do is I need you to listen to everything that I have to tell you. Okay, now run. Stop. Dodge these agents. then he said, now you're gonna see a sky lift, and on that, and then you can actually lift yourself up to the helicopter pad, and we'll get you. And at that point, Neo is not very trusting towards this. He's like, how the hell does he know about this? And then, of course, he gets picked up from the agents, and he's thinking that he's having a dream, but he's actually not having a dream. He's thinking that these guys who put a bug in his stomach is just a dream that he had. And he also said, he flips them off, tells them, first I want my phone call. And he goes, well, that's very interesting, Mr. Anderson. But how can you talk if you don't have a mouth? And at first he's like, what do you mean? Next thing you know, it turns into like a horror film. Mm-hmm. It was just a very horrifying seeing that on the big screen for the first time. And I wound up falling in love with the sci-fi aspect of it. And also too, making you critically think about other religions who think of different ways of worship their gods and stuff as well. Because like I said, this can actually be something that people can actually connect with whatever they believe in as well.
Yeah, because Neo, the one, it's like a messiah figure. And then the machine's taking over. It's like a revelation of Armageddon, a Ragnarok, or whatever you want to call it, type of thing. So he's the only one that can save them. And also, it's probably some Greek mythology in there somewhere with mm-hmm. him going to the oracle and then him having to believe in himself, basically. When she told him, I don't know if we're going scene by scene. I'm kind of jumping around.
But we can just jump around because I don't feel like, because I'm just having a good time just having a conversation about the Matrix. Oh, this is pretty much what this rewatch is.
Well, because, you know, Morpheus was like, go to the Matrix. Oh, my God, you're the one. And she's telling him, you're not the one. I was like, well, this was a waste of a trip. She just told you you're not the one. Damn. She gave you a cookie and then she tell you you're not the one?
Yeah, by the time you're done finishing this cookie, he's like, you're not going to remember me.
Tell you? No, it's okay. She told you what you need to know. You still the one. And he's looking like, this guy is nuts. She just told me I'm not the one. I don't know how to break it to him. I'm just a slump off the street.
You'll feel right as rain when you eat this cookie.
Yeah. And he's like, I don't. And then throughout the movie, he was like, Trinity, I'm not the one. How am I supposed to tell this crazy man I'm not the one? Damn. Yeah. Still think I'm the one. Crazy.
I thought that the sequence in The Office is funny now because I just remember the Chappelle Show sketch, Real Movies. He's like Morpheus. he's acting like a doofus. He goes, and he's like, okay, you need to do that. And you hear one of the agents farts. And he goes, oh hey man, it's Earl. I want to borrow a stapler. Oh dude, totally got me. But the other cool part of that the scene is like. The video game that came out after the movie, like the Path of Neo, not Enter the Matrix, where you play as Niobe and that. No, that was a fun game, but Path of Neo is the true Matrix game, where if you escape the agents, you get the write off with Trinity. You literally get to escape and completely compare different, and then you still get the same result, but you don't have to get bugged. But you get to skate. I think the whole Path of Neo game is so good. You get various aspects. I think essentially it's Path of Neo in a sense. So you get to play iconic sequels like the lobby shootout. So there's a lot, but I remember I didn't escape because I couldn't. I'm not very good at sneaky stuff in the game, but you'd being able to escape. I mean that, but I just gotta talk about the opening sequence. What a way to kick off the movie.
Yeah.
And you don't even know who this person is. And the agents do, like the agent, and then I just like the foreshadowing. The movie starts off at the hotel, the movie ends at that same hotel in that same room. Like literally, I just thought that was like really cool. But Trinity kicks some ass. Like you see when you see the opening sequence, like, whoa, this movie's an action movie, and it's just and that's the first time you see Trinity. That's how you just know, all right. Instant badass. And that, like, that's why, and then it's just the way he's like, no, sir, your men are already dead. Like, it's just like, and then she's like, are there agents? God damn it. Like literally just like, and then running. And then I think there's going to be a lot of like shots at the original Matrix in this new one. and talking about what, like, I think, because there's a clip I watched from the Game Awards, and then we'll get into that. But what were you expecting this were you expecting a phone booth? Like, there's a little shot at the original Matrix in this one sequence. Like, what were you, like, we don't have phone booths. Like, we don't have telephones. So literally, so there's little shot at the original, because this, the time has passed. We're almost, I think 20 years.
About, I was going to ask what year this the new one takes place.
Because the first one came out in April. Out of all months, it came out in April. So it came out April 1999. And we're past the 22-year mark. And we're getting the fourth one. Like, it's incredible. Like, there's so many featurettes from Carrie Moss, like, to be back this, like, in 20, like, to be back to this 22 years later is incredible. Like, it's just so surreal that we're getting a fourth Matrix movie.
Yeah, definitely. And if you think about it, though, the very last one was like the death of Neo, of him sacrificing himself. Now we're getting the resurrected version of Neo, or so we think. But like, still, this is what I find, that this is another thing, though, too, that I really have to say that I like the opening sequence as well, with her kicking some ass with against the cops and things like that. But when you're introduced into the other characters, even though they're there only for a few minutes, you still have that characterization where you have that emotional attachment to the characters, to where you care about them. Yeah, it's actually 41 years. Okay, so 41 years after the third movie. Okay, so it's about 41 years.
Don't quote me on that. I think I've heard of that. Okay. Like, that's where we're going. It's a it's a sequel to the events of the third one. I was off by 20 years. It's 20 years after the events. That makes sense.
Okay. But going off of what I was saying, though, was the, you know, seeing Trinity in them kick some ass, and then of course having those other characters there that's part of Morpheus's crew, even though they're there for a few minutes, you still care about those characters, and they gave us reasons to care about them. And they're not throwaway characters. They were actually characters that had a purpose and everything too. But Cypher is the biggest douchebag of them all. although Ralphie, that's what I'm calling him in the Matrix world, Ralphie from The Sopranos.
Man.
Or the captain from Bad Boys. He got kicked out of the Matrix. He got killed in the Matrix so he can become a police captain to Will Smith. It goes full circle here.
But, you know, my favorite line that he says says this when he's trying to make the deal with the agent. Now, my favorite thing is when he's eating this steak, he goes, "I know this is a juicy steak, but what makes it a juicy steak? Am I told that it's a juicy steak, or is it just my own state of mind that says it's a juicy steak?" And I like how he's questioning that. And also too, we also see that played out whenever they're over there eating cereal and everything, where one of the other characters says about the oatmeal and everything. As a matter of fact, he was the one who made the red dress. And he's like, "I know this is oatmeal, but is it really oatmeal? And is chicken actually chicken?" So I definitely like that. And Tasty Wheat. Yeah, it was the Tasty Wheat. Thank you for putting that in there. But yeah, it was definitely, I know it's tasty, I know it's wheat, but what makes it tasty wheat? So they're questioning certain tastes, certain things that they've been taught since they were probably kids, and wondering, wait, is this really what I'm feeling, or is this not what I'm feeling? And is this the way that I'm supposed to feel? So I liked how they did that. And then even whenever they go visit the Oracle with the kid, he goes, "There is no spoon. It's just an object." And so he's like the airbender who's bending objects, because there's actually nothing there. So you have the questioning of different things that we're used to and accustomed to, because we never even questioned it before, because that's what we were taught. That's what we were told. This is a juicy steak, but why is it a juicy steak? What makes it a juicy steak? Is it a juicy steak just because you told me it was, or is it my own thoughts that says it's a juicy steak? You know? So that was something that I really liked. How smart it was and the critical line of thinking of it. Aside from the special effects, it makes you think, it makes you use your imagination. And you're making, and that's what I love about The Matrix. And also, too, my favorite scene is whenever they go in there and save Morpheus as well. And they're using that shootout and everything with the cops. That is my favorite scene in the whole entire movie. But my other thing that I have to laugh at is when Trinity doesn't even know how to fly a helicopter. And just, hey, I need you to go ahead and send me a link up on how to fly a helicopter. Okay. All of a sudden, he just downloads it into her head, and she automatically knows. I'm like, damn, I need that app.
I mean, we'll get into this in the second movie, but she tried to do it from the motorcycle. And he's like, hold on a sec. And then the key maker appears with the key. You are handy. Like, I just thought that, like, it's just the subtle lines. Like, Trinity is just such a badass character. I gotta say, Lawrence Fishburne can fight when he's actually fighting somebody of his own side. Lawrence Fishburne's got his ass kicked in these movies. And it's like, man, for a leader, you can't fight. Like
that's why he's counting on Neo as the one, because he knows
that he can't be deflecting to know how to defend yourself. I mean, it's just like seeing him get his ass kicked.
He
like,
sacrificed himself for Neo because he knew Neo was the one. Like, oh, that's love right there. That's love. I mean, that's
the guy probably. You don't even know that's like that. Not even the one. That wasn't even the one at the time. It's just Morpheus is learning how to fight
someone. That wasn't even the one at the time. He disguises his lack of fighting skills by surrounding himself with best fighters.
He doesn't need a samurai sword or katana.
He did fight Keanu Reeves, so he did do good.
Yeah, I know. But that wasn't a simulation. That was a training simulation. It was like you're fighting like a computer player or whatever. I don't know. It seems like I think
he wasn't the one at the
time. Morpheus's ass, like literally, like the two of them came.
So it was like every relationship I've been before.
Oh. But I mean, the lobby shootout that was a great sequence. But I think some of the other side characters I liked APOC and I liked Switch. Like it's either our way or the highway. The first time you see and I want to see more of APOC. I thought he was pretty badass. Like he's the one that was giving him some moral support. Here, hope the Oracle gave you some good news. Like that, and to see them die that quickly. Like I mean, I'm glad Tank didn't die.
Tank was one of my favorites.
Tank was awesome. We'll get into I was reading up on this because like we were running. How did he not appear in the second movie? Because they wrote him off because apparently he wanted more money, or he wanted so much more money that the directors wrote him off because he didn't die. So I was wondering how did he die? And I was like, Reena, did he die? It's like, no, I don't think he did because he was able to survive that wound by Cypher, but. But no, I was glad Cypher died. He was a prick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cypher deserved to die.
I'm glad he died too. But the more I think about what he was saying, like you were saying with the steak and at the dinner, the more I was like, I would have did the same thing. Like eating this slop all day. And then I don't gotta worry about no bills. I don't even know if people pay bills in the Matrix. They just walk around eating steak. I like that. I want to be in the Matrix. You know, I mean, being outside the Matrix, that seems like what we are now.
Yep. He had a goatee, too, so that's how you can tell he was the only one that was
carnival. Yeah, everybody has a goatee.
Well, except for the
agents. You too.
The agents were clean. But I got to give props. This is the one that introduced Hugo Weaving. Hugo Weaving is a fantastic villain. He plays really good villains, and
he's a great character actor.
Like he was so good as Agent Smith. Like I mean, to see him not in like I was kind of bummed when they didn't bring him back, which it kind of makes sense because he got obliterated like 1,000 times. Yeah. If you add up the amount of clones he made of himself, he's gone. That's why I think seeing somebody else take on the mantle is that kind of nice. That's why I'm thinking, Neil Patrick Harris is an agent, but that's for another story. But yeah, I thought Hugo Weaving fantastic as Agent Smith. Right. Like he's cunning. Like he's like very like you don't ever see him take the sunglasses off. That means he's all business.
All business. Bill collector, IRS, whatever. That's
you do not want to see him show up to your house.
No, pay your bills with him. Yeah. No.
Behind the scenes, though, he's a nice guy. Like, the scene
I'm
behind
sure
the scenes.
Sure, he is. Like, that's what they all Keanu, say.
Like, him and Keanu laugh with each other. Like, I think he seems really like the tough guy person. Yeah. But he's probably like kind of like a lovable character, kind of like what Keanu Reeves is. Like, how could he not like Keanu Reeves? Like, seriously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love Kiki. Right. Yeah.
Another thing I want to mention is this, like, you have the machines basically going on ahead, using us as batteries and keeping us inside the Matrix. That was just mind-blowing. And I remember watching this, and I was like, I just don't get it. Then one day, after like the seventh time of watching the Matrix movies, I finally got it. It finally clicked. It's like, because I remember I was determined. I'm like, I'm going to make sense of this movie. So finally, I understood it. I'm like, wow, they're using us like Energizer batteries to go ahead and control us and everything. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly, they're like big, huge servers controlling us.
Wow.
And you mentioned it very well that Tamika with the cell phones controlling us, looking into a box and everything, and that's became our lives. Yeah. And you're right. So I thought that was actually a very good analogy on what you said about that. And you know, it's just scary because here's the thing. I believe, and I remember hearing Coy saying about this. He said before, this was like the start of the internet
mm-hmm.
when this came out.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're actually where the internet is at now in this film.
What internet? What came out in 90s?
Well, 99.
Before 90. Well,
like, yeah, what I mean is like the technology is the start. Yeah.
Because this came out before Y2K, and I'm wondering after this came, you know, like when Y2K hit, did people think, oh man, the Matrix, the machines are coming, you know, because everything was shut down and everybody was freaking out because you can see our dependence on technology. It is very scary. And that's what, I don't know, you can do like a whole semester class on the Matrix films, and you can get into, and there's plenty of books out there on it. You can get into like man versus technology. You can get on our dependence on like technology, man versus machine, blah blah blah. You can go so deep into this that it'll just blow your mind.
Rabbit hole.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I'm trying not to go so deep. See?
But you see, though, I am trying to go deep into this rabbit hole.
It's a limit. Like, if you go too deep, then you'll just be like that philosopher that you mentioned, where he was like, wait, is this real? Maybe what we're looking at now, we're just still asleep and we're still dreaming, and maybe this isn't reality. That'll mess you up because you'll be like, I don't have to go to work because this isn't real.
Yeah.
This is just a dream, and I don't have to pay bills.
Then your bills show up. It's like, it was real.
You was on the street, and you're like, maybe this isn't real either. Maybe I'm just in a dreamland. Like, that'll mess you up, man.
I mean, I think it's because of this movie we got Inception, because that movie in Zelda dreams.
That's what I was going to say.
And that's why I loved Inception so much, because it's a very interesting topic, and I think they probably got it from that. But like, I think like that there's these movies kind of go hand in hand, but the idea of dream, like you only wake up and something like when Neo woke up from the Mr. Smith, he thought it was just a dream. And it goes counterpoint about you don't remember it. Like all you do is remember part of the beginning, nothing in the middle, and the end. That's all you, and then you wake up. But it's like, so it's a very, like, this, and these are two, again, they're both by Warner Brothers, go figure. But they're two big movies that deal with the idea of dreams, and they both were done well. Like I would kind of want to see a continuation of Inception a little bit. I want to see what happens next, but the way they ended, it was perfect. But I think the reason for the sequels and why they may not have been received, I don't think the Wachowski thought this was going to be this well, and they just fought on the fly. Like, all right, we got to make it a trilogy. This was never supposed to be a trilogy. It was only supposed to be like the one movie. But I think there was a lot of popularity for it, and the hype was there. I mean, the second and third ones a downer, but there's aspects of the third movie that I enjoyed. like the opening, like, and when we get to that, and there's aspects of the second one I absolutely loved. The action sequences, like, definitely overshadowed the lame, boring plot. Like, it took too damn long for this to get stuff to happen. And once the good stuff happened, boom, 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 boom. They took you on a roller coaster that has never stopped, like, until the ending. And then this, like they said, they never envisioned to do a trilogy, let alone a fourth movie. But I mean, and then it's just like, and it just seems like Neo and Trinity are perfect together because they both like to defy authority. Like in this one, Neo defies what Trinity and Tank was telling him. No, we're gonna do it. We're not gonna kill Morpheus. I'm going in. And Trinity's like, no. Let me tell you something. I am the commanding officer of that. You can just go to hell like that. And then the second one, Trinity defies Link's order or Neo's order. I'm not going to sit here and let them die. I'm going in there. Like, yeah, so they both like to defy authority. Yet, if Neo and Trinity had come up to you, whatever they ask, you immediately say yes. Because they're like the power couple in any movie. Those two, perfect. Like, those two are like, if they came up to you, don't even let them tell you what they want. Just say yes.
Yeah.
Because I absolutely would say yes. And they came up to me like, yeah, I'm in. I'm doing it. Whatever you need. I'm doing it.
Especially if it's Kiki. Yes.
Especially if it's Keanu Reeves. Absolutely. Like, I would check out what I was saying. Absolutely. What do you need me to do? Like, is this like, it's just like, and then, but yeah, it's just like they both like to defy authority. That's why they're perfect. Like the two of them, like, do not piss off like Trinity. Do not kiss her man.
No. Yeah.
I love that sequence though, but we'll get into that next minute.
Now you bring that up, Charlie. Sorry, it'll be quick, John. Now you bring that up, Charlie. Good. I can tell that the second and third one were just made up on the fly because I was like, where are we going with this? All right. Because in the beginning of the second one, it just looked like a rehashing of the first one. Like the opening scene of the first one, I was like, okay, all right.
It's Trinity kicking ass.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I like this. But
and then the beginning of the third one is Trinity kicking ass. So they have their trend. Trinity's got to kick ass. And why she's such an iconic, she's in one of the Hall of Fames for badass female characters. She's right up there with Ripley. I would say Alice from the Resident Evil movies. Mm-hmm. Probably missing a bunch of others, but she's right up there, like right up there. Oh, Sarah Connor, of course, like she's right up there. Like Trinity is one of those iconic ones, and like again, and then the fact that they made it seem like she's a badass. Mm-hmm. I applaud the directors for being able to do that.
Yeah.
Sorry, John. We'll go back on the. We're geeking out for the Matrix. Sorry.
No. You're fine.
Yeah. What do you think about the second one, John? What do you think about Matrix Reloaded?
We're going to talk about that
in the next review.
But I will say this.
Sorry. Yeah.
But no, I will say this. I'm with Charlie, though. I enjoyed aspects of the Matrix Reloaded film. I thought it was good. Third one, not so much. But we'll talk about that next time. But as far as this film goes, this is probably the most original film that you wind up finding in 1999. To be honest with you, that is just out there. And the Wachowskis do a fantastic job at their storytelling. And another thing I want to bring up, too, whenever you look at this, is the fact that you have Morpheus, who believed in Neo so much that he sacrificed his own self because that's what he believes. And that right there is a true act of friendship, belief, and also loving somebody enough to sacrifice themselves for someone. And that is just poetic. It's just poetic writing in itself on what they did. And then, of course, you have Trinity and you also have Neo who comes over there to try and save him. And, you know, Morpheus, and also, too, Morpheus knows that they're going to come over there and fight everybody and everything. It's just all the matter of the fact is, how are they going to get to him? And then the helicopter sequence was really good, how the agents can actually control everything around them and manipulate everybody, which is not far-fetched for today either. But also, too, I like how threatening the agents are. Because as Neo is running away from Agent Smith, you can see it being played out as he's running through this person's house and causing the glitches in the Matrix and everything. And next thing you know, there's this housewife who's cooking dinner. There's this butcher knife. She throws it at the corner of the door as Neo is passing through, and she misses him. Neo looks, it's no longer the housewife, it's actually Agent Smith. And then it goes into the subway scene. The subway scene was intense. This whole movie is built on intensity. It's also a high throttle push all the way through the end and everything. It doesn't really slow down at all, but the very beginning is a little slow, is like a little bit of a slow burn because you're not sure how it's going to be played out, especially when Neo's at this nightclub. And basically he winds up getting a message on the screen. Hey, this is Trinity. Follow the white rabbit. And Neo is just got done doing a hacking job for somebody. And these people come over his house. He goes, hey, you want to hang out? He goes, no, I got work tomorrow. He goes, come on, hang out. No, I'm okay. No, I'm fine. I'm gonna hang out over here.
Just go out.
I'm good. So he sees the white rabbit. He goes, you know what? Whoa, I think I can hang out. So I go on ahead. I hang out.
That's not the same as whoa, though. I just had the
flip. I know. But in my version, it is. Wow.
Yeah. In everybody's version, it's whoa.
The screen didn't say, hi, Neo, this is Trinity. Trinity, well, he finds out at the nightclub when Trinity shows up.
Get it right, John.
Well, hey, I'm not going for verbatim here.
I know, but right. I mean, I know you're not going for verbatim, but you gotta kind of like.
This is holy ground.
I mean, the Matrix is like that. You got to get some parts of it right.
You got to get this right, John. This is holy ground right here.
Sorry, I shall not do that again.
You shall not.
Because the agents would have known. The agents would have shown up in Neo's house. They had it, like they were looking for him anyway. Like,
whoa. I read somewhere where the Wachowskis, I know they're trans now. I forgot.
I think it's Larry. It was originally Larry and something Wachowskis.
Is her name Linda now or Lisa?
It's Lana.
Lana. Yeah.
Lana.
I read somewhere where I don't know if making this film made them come to a realization that they were transitioning. But with Trinity, how. You know that nightclub scene, and Neo was like, oh, I thought you were a guy, and she was like, most men think I am.
Mm-hmm.
I think I read somewhere where I don't know if that had something to do with them personally, where they were like coming to grips with their transitioning. Lana and Lily. I wonder why Lily isn't in this film. I only see Lana Wachowski.
I think here's the thing: they had a lot of box office slumps with certain things, though, mm-hmm. too. So maybe her going back over to this franchise and stuff like that wasn't the best idea for her. But it was okay for the other Wachowski to go and do. But you bring up a good point, though, Tamika, about what you were saying about with them being transgender. Think of it like this. With the Matrix, you can be anything you want to be. You're pretty much trapped with it. And here's the thing. You're pretty much trapped within your own self, right? Mm-hmm. So therefore, you can be anything. You don't have to be male or female. You can be whatever race you want, whatever sex you want within the Matrix itself. And you also, too, this movie's about feeling trapped.
Mm.
And so, therefore, they also feel probably entrapped within their own selves and their own body. And this is probably their own selves of trying to get out and release themselves to the public of who they really are.
Yeah. And it's a lot of leather in here, too. So you see the sexual inhibitions as well with all the leather. Going on as well, but I guess that too can represent the Matrix, not the sexual inhibition, but just the feel of smooth, the leather and the reflection of the leather.
Yeah,
that could be like Matrix like.
I think the last movie that the two of them directed together was Jupiter Ascending, and that was bad.
Ooh, I heard garbage.
They spent more money on special effects than the actual plot. That's how
I want Sean Bean to die. Mm-hmm. I really wanted him to die in that movie because Sean Bean dies in everything. That didn't happen. It's a spoiler alert, but and then you see Freddie High, like Freddie Redman. You barely hear him speak. You have to get subtitles just to hear what he speak. He spoke like, dude, what did they pay you to be in this movie? Like, you can barely hear you. Like, no.
I use subtitles all the time now.
I do too. Yeah. But, I mean, sometimes you need them, but
yeah,
people sometimes you do
off now.
I'll be honest with you. I used it in Sons of Anarchy whenever I couldn't understand some of the Irish lingo and stuff like that because it was hard for me to understand. But whenever I'm over at my fiance's house, I also do subtitles and everything too. So
yeah. Oh, I have a question for Charlie though. Do you know if Christopher Nolan was influenced by The Matrix for Inception and even Tenet? Because he's really into the meaning of dreams.
I think Inception was more dreams. I think Nolan's really his team, his really his like big thing is time. That seems to be
But go ahead, John. You know what, Charlie, though? I want to mention this real quick because I forgot to mention this at the beginning. But you know how you said that this was a real popular movie, right? This movie only had a budget of $63 million.
Yeah.
It grossed $466.3 million.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a lot.
And that's enough for Warner Brothers to say, hey, look, we need to franchise this thing. So that's why they weren't hurried up. And another thing I liked about the fact that they didn't waste any time doing a sequel because they knew it would be beneficial. If they waited any longer, it wouldn't have made as much. Nobody would have probably paid attention to it anymore. So they needed to get this movie out of there. Out there fast.
What do you mean, the fourth one or the second one?
I'm talking about the original Matrix film. The
second one.
Okay. Yeah. The second one. Yeah,
the second and third one.
The second one. Years. Well, after watching the first one and me and my sister watching it, it really got us in the theaters to see the second one too. And and the third one, which we painfully hung in there to the action sequence. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, the second one, there's a huge drop off between an action sequence to like, that was a few, like, I think that was the drop off was so longer in that one than there was the second one. But there's some cool sequences in the third one when we get into that. I mean, but I don't know. I think they both came out in the same time, like 2003, I believe. So it was about a 4-year difference between the first one and the second one. But I think since they filmed the second one back to back with the third one, there was a huge ET special on the Matrix, like about the Matrix Reloaded. And I remember watching it with my dad, like all that stuff about like, I was like, once I found out, holy crap, there's a ton of Mr. Smiths. Like I was blown away by that. The CGI, like the CGI good for it. No, at the time, there's no other movie that had the risk to do that. And I was watching the behind the scene featurette of it, how they filmed it. It actually makes you kind of appreciate the scene more because there's no way they could have done that without what they did. Could the CGI be better? Mm-hmm. Sure. But again, technology is way different than there was. Like, it is way different now than there was in 2003. There's not much movies that decided to take that risk. I mean, it was a really cool, like, behind the scenes. You can find it on YouTube. I think it was under Warner Brothers Entertainment. Okay. They just posted it not too long ago. Very cool behind the scenes about how Neo was fighting, how they filmed it, like how many days it took, and how they had to take photos of Neo's Keanu Reeves's face and Hugo Weaving's face, and then being able to put it onto those bodies and stuff, or about how whatever they did. It's really cool. It makes me appreciate the scene more. Is it great? Is it a great looking scene? No. However.
The originality behind it.
I got to give it props for what they did in 2003 because nobody had the guts to do something like that. Like, nobody's really, like, they always try to, they were trying to one up each other. It could have been better, sure. But again, we don't have the technology that we do now that we did in 2003. So I got to give them props for being able to make best with the situation. But yeah, it was all about a 4-year difference. And I think that's fine. But the ET special was like, that was cool. And then the behind the scenes, I think the highway chase scene easily made up for the bad CGI, and that sequence, OMG, how they filmed that, how they did that. Like, it's
awesome.
That yeah. is one of the best sequences. And I think that sequence and then the Neo taking on the Merovingian's goons mm-hmm. in the chateau, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. those
yeah.
counteract the horrible plot in the Zion's orgy. Like,
oh boy, I can't wait to get into Matrix Reloaded next time.
Oh, don't worry, and I'll get into the and then the second movie was so popular that when the MTV Movie Awards were a thing, uh-huh. we had Justin mm-hmm. Timberlake and Sean William Scott.
Yeah,
they made fun of that sequence
with Will Ferrell.
Yeah, that was great. And Andy Dick was one of the members, and he's like, yep. "Look, Zion, look, it's Morpheus." We'll get into that in the second one. Morpheus, me, look, right for the
Morpheus. Anyone else? You know what else made me laugh though with that? See, get this: if you actually bought the DVD, that actually comes with it.
Yeah,
but funny is I don't need to. You can still look it up on YouTube. But I remember this part because I heard that Morpheus is going to have a big orgy later. Next thing you know, Morpheus comes up there. It is true what you heard, Morpheus.
I mean, and then Will Ferrell is the architect. And then get Sissy Boy here back to his bitch.
What?
Because if I were you. You better zip your tongue. You better zip it. Why'd you say that? Why'd you say he tackles Keanu? Like, again, that sequence is so funny. But, I mean, it's just like, that's how popular The Matrix was until, like, mm-hmm. around the time that the movie, MTV Movie Awards, when they're actually really good, you couldn't predict what you think was going to win. Twilight winning every freaking time. No, this is actually good stuff. Back when it was good. Yeah. Anyway,
let it out, Charlie. Let it out.
Yeah, but yeah, highway chase scene, fantastic. And again, that we'll save that for the review. But OMG, how they filmed that! Like, I gotta watch the behind the scenes on that. That was awesome. But back to this original one. But the lobby shootout, seeing that for the first time,
or at least awesome. The evil.
like Neo does nonchalant goes into the station. You got any keys, metallic items? And he pulls out, and you see all the guns. I'm like, or the sequence, guns, lots of guns. I was like, no way. And then Neo's like, again, Neo's such a badass. And I was bummed that in the second and third movie, he doesn't use any guns. He just fights. And I kind of bring back guns. You were so good with that. Like, yeah.
Hey. Oh, I thought he said hey y'all. But that said hey all. Sorry.
Hey Louie.
I thought it was I love that sequence. The lobby and then the blowing up. And of course the sequence on top of the helicopter is cool because it's just recently, I think they promote the new Matrix movie and to promote the new tech engine that they're using. In consoles now. I think it's it's called The Matrix Awakens, which is a new tech demo in The Matrix. I haven't tried it yet. I have to try it on the PS5, but they're promoting it and they're on top of the set. Neo and Trinity, they're there together and they're like, and then Trinity asks, can you still do oh, this is the iconic scene where Neo does the dodging thing. And Trinity asks him, can you still do that? He goes, no. He says, can you still do that? Nope. But I can in The Matrix Awakens, this tech demo, and Keanu's doing all his hand gestures and Trinity's just looking at him like, I mean, that helicopter sequence, because then you get Trinity with the one-liner, dodge this.
Yeah.
She never imagined the word dodge this being a thing. And like, just to have her, it was a really clever quip. It was a really good quip that she did. And then again, seeing Neo dodge, that was...
Yes. Yeah, the wire work. I have to commend all of them. The wire work that they did, and then the wire work that Keanu did for the epic scene where he's like falling backwards. I can't imagine. I think he did that multiple times.
Yeah.
I would have broke my back or something. I don't know.
Or like the wire work in the subway, the scene when the two are running at each other and they're in the air with the bullets dodge. Like, I mean, there's so much that, and I think they did a lot of their own stunts, and that's what that's the thing that you love about Keanu. Keanu wants to make it as real as possible, and that's why he usually does his own stunts, unless, of course, getting hit by a car. Getting hit by a car, that's not Keanu. That's stuntman. Because like he said that in the, in his like pressers and stuff, and or like when he's on the circuits, like that's not John Wick. Okay, me horse, me running.
Yes.
And then
that's me.
Car, not John Wick. Because if I'm hurt, that hurts the production. So it's like stuntman. Like so he does a lot of his own stuff, but stuntman. Like and like it's just the way Keanu talks with his hand gestures, it's hysterical. I mean, but I mean that subway fight sequence where he's finally beginning to believe. Like I just love the way when Morpheus delivers that line, he's beginning to believe. And then the fight choreography in this is top notch. In the sequels, the fight choreography when they're not going Superman at each other, when they're actually having the kung fu sequence in the small little thing, like that sequence was awesome. Like they're like that's the final battle of him and Mr. Smith in the third one. That's a good scene when they're not Supermaning each other. Like enough Superman, but when they're kung fu fighting each other,
it's
great.
Go ahead, John.
Sorry. No, go on, Tamika.
Go. John.
I do have to agree with you, Charlie, though, with that subway scene was just awesome. And them just going at each other. And then, like you mentioned also, too, Tamika, whenever he goes, he's starting to believe he is the one. And you know, I like that part. Then it's also the other thing, too, with the kung fu fighting with Morpheus and him. The simulation was actually good, too. And it's like, oh, my God, I can't believe how fast he's moving.
Have you seen his reflexes?
Look at his reflexes. Mouse. They're off the charts. They're just massive.
What if he makes the jump? He's not going to make the jump.
Nobody makes it the first time.
Or, like, this is where Awkwafina from Sunshine can come in there. Or he makes the jump or whatever. Just to throw that in there. But I mean, that's where he kind of does the iconic whoa. And then, just liked how real it is. If you die in the Matrix, you die for real. And then like, and that's very, I mean, that's intense, but I mean, I hated the sequence where Cypher pulling the plug on that. And I was like, you feel bad for Switch and Apoc. No, you kind of want to know more about him.
Right. So another thing that I thought was actually funny was it goes, I know Kung Fu. Well, show me. He goes, quit trying to hit me and hit me. But I thought this whole movie is just fantastic. I love The Matrix for what it is. Rewatching it again for the first time in God knows how long was just, it brings back nostalgia for me as a young teenager watching this film. And just geeking out over it and actually getting the concepts of it now. Because it sticks with you more than it did now as an adult versus a kid. Because as a kid, we're there for the action sequences. We're there for Keanu, which you're still there for, Charlie. But, you know, but I'm there for both. I like both now. Because now it just sticks with you and also makes you think. And if a movie makes you think and use your imagination, it's done its job.
Yeah.
So this movie, I walked out very entertained. So
what about your the other thing thoughts? I appreciate from this movie is because of this movie, it's because of the popularity of this. And then we got John Wick and we got Morpheus and Neo back together. And then I think when they were at the premiere for John Wick 2, Trinity was there with the two of them and they took a photo together. It was like, okay, what you need to do, have Trinity be the head of the high table or the order or whatever, have her be the ultimate villain and have Neo and Morpheus and Neo have to team up to take out Trinity. Like, cause I think they're currently working on John Wick 4 right now.
Yes.
And it's supposed to come out next May and I'm pumped because of this pandemic, we would have gotten the epic Keanu stunts weekend. And I was going to be so pumped. John Wick 4, Matrix 4, same weekend. Winner is the fans. The only choice is what to see first. I probably would have gone Wick 4 first or whatever, probably Matrix 4 first because again, I that's before I even saw the trailers for this new one, and I'm hyped for this new one. Like it looks so good, but I would have seen that and then seen John Wick 4 then. But if it now it's reversed, I have to see Matrix. It's okay, I see Matrix first anyway. But the fact that we got that, we just need all right. Warner Brothers, talk to us. Get Trinity, Carrie Ann Moss to be the head, the Bane, the villain, that order, the main of the high table, or whatever. Like, I've got, it's been a while since I've seen John Wick. Don't come at me. I'll be watching those before that new one, but it's been a while since I've seen them, because they're great action movies. If you haven't seen them, watch them after you, of course, see The Matrix. But yeah, like, have her that and have Morpheus and Trinity, like, Morpheus and Neo team up to take out Trinity. Like, come on. This would be perfect, but to see the three of them together in 2015 was when they, not 2015, 2017, when this premiere, when John Wick 2 premiered, to have the three of them together with the photo, the triangle is complete again. Like, it was so good to see that.
I just wanted to say, like, the ending of, you know, the first Matrix, toward the end, where he's running and he's trying to get to the door, to the phone.
Parkour.
And he's trying to get to the door to the phone. He's met with Agent Smith. And then he shoots him. It's devastating when you don't know what's going on. Yeah, and you're like, oh, he's going to make it. And then he gets shot. You're like, oh, my God, he's not going to make it. What is going on? And then he dies, you know. And then you're like, oh my gosh, what kind of ending is this?
You kill Keanu.
Yeah, but you know, he resurrects because he believes in himself, you know.
And no, because Trinity kissed him. All it took was like,
yes, his, Trinity. Yes.
It's because Trinity says, the Oracle told me I would fall in love with the one.
Yes, and it was very Sleeping Beauty type.
Yeah.
And I think they mentioned that too. You see like elements of Alice in Wonderland, and then you see Sleeping Beauty, but reversed. Because it's the woman that awakens him with her true love's kiss. And, you know, he awakens and love awakens him and makes him believe in himself. And he stops the bullets, which that CGI, that scene was really awesome. I just said, no. And then the bullets kind of just stop, you know. So I don't know. I like it.
That was a great sequence where he becomes the one. He's just like, he's like, he could close his eyes and he's just doing it all with one arm, beating Agent Smith with one arm.
Yes.
And he's just like looking at his watch. Like, I thought that sequence was so funny how he did that. And then again, Agent Smith was the true baddie here. The other two doofuses, they're the Asians. They're not as tough looking. One's just a big brute, but he's not that tough. The main guy, that like, they just follow in Agent Smith's orders. Like, they're, and then the two of them run like wussies. But once Neo went inside Agent Smith, like, and then it's just, then he bursts it out, like, and he just looks at him like he's about there next, and he goes, nope, I'm out. Sorry, bro.
Yeah. And then it's like the Matrix expands as he expands. Like, he just breathes in and then he breathes out. And then
everything's like, calm.
Everything's calm and it expands because he becomes one with the environment. You see a lot of Eastern philosophies in this, like meditation and be one with the spoon, you know. I don't know, it's like Buddhist elements into it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
definitely. And then there's also the ending scene where Keanu is on the phone and goes, I know you're listening. I know what you're thinking. I know where you are. And it turns into like a Liam Neeson thing. I will kill you and I will find you.
Yeah.
Kind of situation. But that's just there. Total badass.
Yeah. I mean, I just love that line. And then, like, if you didn't pick up on it at first. Now that you've seen the other two movies, he starts flying. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And then he flies. You're like, wait, he can fly. And then, of course, Rage Against the Machine comes on. Yeah. You're like, this movie's so awesome.
But
soundtrack picks up better in the second movies, like the second and third movies, that they get like got a much more intense soundtracks.
I think Rage Against the Machine returned in the second one too.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's gonna be it as far as our Matrix review. And is there anything else that you wanted to talk about or anything like that for final thoughts? Or
no, if you forget anything, we'll fill them in the next movie.
Okay, but it's
just. What I would say is just read up on just how technology impacts us. You know, just there's plenty of books out there like that and philosophers. So it'll be good to just read up on that. And if you want to get that nerdy, you can read up on that and then get your mind all messed up and expanded for Matrix 4.
Okay.
But yeah, this is a great movie.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
I love it. Yeah. I want to see it this week. I need to do a whole Matrix marathon. Get myself pumped like game day for Matrix 4.
I mean, well, I won't be seeing it right away. I'm not going to see it on HBO Max first. I'm going to the theater to see this.
I'm going to the theaters.
And then watch it on HBO Max.
And afterwards. I will hope COVID doesn't touch me.
Have your hazmat suit on, like you said before.
Everybody will be rushing in the Spider-Man for like they're rushing in the Spider-Man. They're getting that out of the way, and then there'll be plenty of space for the Matrix.
I do the Neo being COVID.
No. But anyways, guys, that's gonna be it. I do this to you all the time.
I mean, the iconic, like, come at me, bro. That iconic virus. Is so great. Like, it's so iconic.
No.
Like, it's so good.
But anyways, Tamika, where can everybody follow you at and everything if they choose to do so?
Cool. Yeah, you can follow us on Facebook at Two Blurred Girls. You can follow us on Instagram at @2BlurredGirls_podcast. And we're on Twitter at @Blurred2Girls. We're also on Twitter. Did I say Twitter? Twitch, Twitter. We're everywhere. Also, audio podcast is on Amazon Music. We're on Audible. We're on iHeartRadio. We're also on Anchor, Apple, and everywhere podcasts are streaming under Two Blurred Girls Podcast.
All right. And you guys go on and follow Two Blurred Girls Podcast. You guys are actually going to be doing a little Christmas episode coming up Friday.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Last Friday, I did the Home Alone 1 and 2 review. So check that out. sorry, that was so weird. And then this Friday, we're going to do a Christmas Story. I think it came out in 1989, I believe. Charlie is my research man. But we're going to review a Christmas Story.
83.
Dang, 83?
Yeah.
Jeez. Ooh. Oh, okay.
Dang. You can even buy the iconic the lamp. As a Hallmark, like at the Hallmark store.
I actually have that ornament on my Christmas tree now. The sexy leg with the fishnet stockings. Yeah, we're going to talk about all that Friday, 9:15.
All right. So, guys, if you guys want to, go on and follow us on Facebook underneath Movie Lovers and TV Lovers Unite, underneath the same brand name on Pinterest and on Instagram as well. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, Charlie and I will be back again. I'm hoping Tamika will come back. We'll find out later on. But we're going to be doing our Matrix Reloaded tomorrow night. And then Thursday, we're doing Matrix Revolutions coming up. So
yeah, I'll be here for both of them.
Yes. Come on. We need you. So come on and join us for both of those days on Wednesday and Thursday, 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, as we dive into more of the Matrix. And then, of course, guys, there's not going to be any show. There's not going to be a Friday show for Hawkeye or anything like that. But we will be back again on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, because we're going to be doing the season 5 and season 6 review. And that'll be the end of the Hawkeye after show. So that's going to be wrapping that up. But and this is also another thing that you guys can go on ahead and do. Go on ahead and give us a review over on Apple Podcasts and everything if you choose to do so. As a matter of fact, we're actually global and everything with all our stuff and everything too. So, you know, you guys can go in and find audio-only podcasts of wherever you guys get your podcast from. Then, of course, if you want to rate us on GoodPods, that's also where Two Blur Girls is at as well. And go ahead, rate them, tell them what you think. Tell them what you think of their Home Alone episode or their Christmas Story episode that's about the year and everything too. And also, too, go ahead, rate individual episodes of our show and everything too. This also helps us to be able to connect with you. And now, GoodPods has a way of us actually connecting with you. What they added now was you can actually comment and we'll reply back to your comment. So that's actually something that I thought that was actually neat. Apple Podcasts doesn't have that feature. We do. We're able to communicate back and forth. So go ahead, do that. Another thing too is if you guys want to go ahead and follow me underneath Movie Lovers Unit 0 on TikTok, then of course underneath Movie Lovers Unit on Twitter. And then, of course, if you're a sponsor or would like to be on the show, just go on ahead, reach out to me at movieloversunite@gmail.com. And that's everywhere that you guys can go on ahead and follow me at. Thanks again, Tamika. I always love having you on. You're very welcome. It's been a while. I can't wait to have you on these other two episodes. It's going to be so much fun. So always until next time, guys. It's been real. It's been fun. And bye-bye.